everybody, and welcome to another brand new edition of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and of course, we are talking scary movies. I appreciate you tuning in for another brand new review. Remember, new episodes are guaranteed to go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, but I always put out extra content for my horror channel every single week. So if you want to check out everything that I'm dropping for you guys, you got to check out my link tree. And you can do that by going to linktr.ee/tscarymovie. If you go to my link tree, that's going to give you access to my YouTube page for the video versions of the show, to your favorite podcasting platforms, the audio only versions of the show, to my Letterboxd page for my written reviews and my movie rankings throughout the year, to my TikTok page for my short horror videos like my movie news, me going to movies on premiere nights, as well as me trying to be funny every now and then. And then finally, my Fangoria shop page, where you can enjoy a discount on everything in the Fangoria shop, including a yearly subscription. So hit that subscribe button, whether you're watching through the link tree, you're on YouTube, a podcasting platform, because the more subscribers I have, that means I'm gonna bring more content to y'all. We got so much great stuff coming out for y'all here very soon. You're gonna want to hit that subscribe button. So what are we talking about here tonight in movie reviews? I'm gonna be discussing I Saw the TV Glow. You know, I was worried I wasn't gonna get a chance to see this one until it hit streaming, just because a number of my friends got a chance to see it like over the past month or so, and it kind of seemed like that limited window, because this is very much a limited release, was just gonna go right on past me and I'd have to wait until it hit digital. But thankfully, they actually had it at a few local theaters this past weekend, so I got a chance to go and check this one out opening night, and I am so happy I did, because I've talked about it on the show before. Director-writer Jane Schoenbrum's previous film, We're All Going to the World's Fair, was one of my absolute favorites of 2022. I thought it was just this amazing film that really fucked me up for like a number of weeks after seeing it. And so I was very amped to see this follow-up, very much in anticipation of it. I know a lot of other people were as well too. And it got a lot of talk. A lot of talk about this earlier this year when it actually hit, because I believe it did the festival circuit back in January, I want to say, and I remember just hearing incredible things about it. So I'm very happy I got a chance to go and check this out. But I haven't seen the trailer for I Saw the TV Glow. This tells the story of two high schoolers, Owen and Maddie, who end up bonding over their mutual love of a TV show called The Pink Opaque. But as their friendship grows, the two begin to realize that something seems off about their everyday lives and the world that they live in, and it'll be up to Owen and Maddie to find a way back to the real world. And there you go. That is the plot of I Saw the TV Glow. Now, what I'm going to say right off the jump about this film is that this movie is very, very nostalgia heavy, and it's very much 90s nostalgia heavy. And I've talked about that numerous times before, that that's kind of one of the issues that I have in my life, is because I live in a constant state of nostalgia, especially for the 90s. You know, for me, that was the very, very easy period when there wasn't a lot of trouble. There wasn't a lot of like hard times that me or my friends or my family were really having to go through. And everything was just much simpler then. And of course, everybody always says that. You know, they always say that the music was better, the TV and movies were better, the games were better, you know, friendships were better, life was just overall better. Everybody says that about their time frame. And everyone always says, yeah, but it's true when I mention it. And I gotta be that guy, but it is true about the 90s. I think the 90s were really the highlight of everybody kind of discovering these new paths they could live their life by. I feel that up into the 90s, everybody in the world was living in like a bit of a restrictive kind of life at that point. And things kind of opened up with folks realizing things like their sexuality and body identity and more about their politics. I think that the 90s really expanded everybody's mind out into different places, whether that's for good or for bad. And I Saw the TV Glow kind of like preys on that nostalgia a little bit, because I think a lot of us in this age group, because I'm 36 and I grew up in the 90s, I think a lot of us look back and romanticize that time and think about how, you know, everything that we went through, no matter like what was seemingly hard, in reality really wasn't. And a lot of times it was just us holding on to these concepts that we were so comfortable around, that we could be kids, that we could just be innocent, and not wanting to progress into like the real world where shit gets real at that point. And that's very much a lot about what we're seeing here in I Saw the TV Glow. Owen, who's played by Justice Smith, you can see that he's very much detached from the world. Doesn't make is probably not the right statement to go with here, but you can see that he doesn't connect with the world like a lot of his peers that are around him. He doesn't really have friends. He doesn't really have an interest in, you know, romantic connections or anything like that. He lives a very sheltered life at home with a strict curfew and, you know, somewhat overbearing, possibly abusive parents as well too. And you see that Owen just kind of lives in this shell, and he's just going through an everyday routine basically. And it's kind of like he's not apathetic. Apathetic's not the right word for it at all, but you can definitely sense that Owen just doesn't he doesn't connect with like the emotions that are all around him. And yet there's a fascination by Owen for this TV show called The Pink Opaque, which is very much reminiscent of like a combination of like Buffy and Charmed and Are You Afraid of the Dark, about these two friends who have this psychic connection that go and fight monsters every single week. They fight a monster of the week, and there's a big bad. There's a big bad that's kind of like all over, like with their his hands over everything, Mr. Melancholy, who lives up in the moon. And, you know, Schoenbrum's like script here will very, very much invoke a lot of memories, a lot of nostalgia, I think, for a lot of us watching through this. And especially when it comes to The Pink Opaque, you know, just being this show that just changed not only Owen's life with this obsession, but this his friend Maddie that he ends up meeting, played by Bridget Lundy Payne, and you might know from Bill and Ted Face the Music. Such a fun movie there. But when Owen meets Maddie, and it's when, like, you know, they're doing election night for the 1996 election, which, you know, gave us our final term for Bill Clinton. And Owen notices Maddie and kind of notices that, like, that she's somewhat different from the people around her. There's some kind of energy coming from her. And he sees the book that she's reading, which is like this episode guide for The Pink Opaque. And they end up connecting, and Owen kind of gets this idea that he might be able to come and hang out with Maddie to get a chance to see his show. And again, something else that I think a lot of us can really identify with is that for a lot of us, there was probably something as a kid that our parents did not allow us to watch at all. We weren't allowed to engage in it. We weren't allowed to do anything that had any part of that. But, you know, we sneak out or we go get permission to hang out with a friend or do a sleepover, and we do it anyway. And so, again, Schoenbrum like does so great with this script, preying upon the nostalgia of folks in my age group and being able to connect with it. It's so well done. And it honestly, the movie gets heartbreaking because a lot of the movie is about how Owen kind of fully immerses himself into the world of The Pink Opaque, and that it's his escape from what's happening around him. That, you know, engrossing himself in this show about these two girls who are disconnected and they're not actually in the same physical space except for once, but they're still the best of friends and doing everything they can to fight all this evil that comes to their town. You know, it's almost like Owen aspires to that. He really sees himself in these girls that are, you know, fighting these demons week in and week out. And, you know, growing up, I was a young black kid that grew up on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Charmed and Are You Afraid of the Dark? And, you know, there were parts in this film where I very much identified with Justice Smith's character, Owen, to where it was very easy to see yourself kind of immersing and just like losing yourself in these shows that you're watching. And I didn't have a particularly bad home life as a kid, honestly. You know, I have great parents. You know, I have a sister. And I had, I think, what a lot of people would probably describe as a very normal childhood, to be completely honest, outside of the moving around. But that doesn't change the fact that I had this big imagination, and that it was very easy for me to just fall in love with the fantastical elements of shit that I was watching. And again, shows like Buffy and Are You Afraid of the Dark and Charmed speak to me a lot more because they're in that horror kind of realm. And so it's easy for me to see myself in Owen as this kid who's like become a, like, not obsessed, but very, very much, again, just engrossed with this world around him. And that was kind of heartbreaking in a few moments, like watching that throughout this film, because the show and this town that they live in is very much an allegory for being afraid to take the next step of your life. You know, both Chris and Maddie live in these not great home situations. Maddie more than Owen. I said Chris. Character's name's Owen, but Maddie's in an abusive situation at her own home, and very much has to get out before, you know, she dies basically. And so she has a drive to get her out of this life, get her out of this town to do something else. Whereas Owen hasn't really had that push. Owen hasn't been put in this situation to where he's forced to really make a move, or else his life could be irrevocably changed at some point. And so that's the very big difference here between Maddie and Owen. Maddie is willing to move on and kind of find that real life for her, to engage with whatever this life is going to be. And Owen has kind of just decided that it's okay for me just to lay back in what I'm doing right now. And, you know, that's the way the world works. Like, this is fantasy, and it'd be great if this was real, but it's not real. The real world is what's around us, and it sucks and it's terrible, but like, we have to live through it. And it's gonna be very heart-wrenching, I think, for a number of you who eventually see this film, to kind of see maybe some relations to whether it's Maddie or whether it's Owen, and the way that they're living their life and the choices that they've made to continue in their life. And it kind of gets even more heartbreaking throughout the film, because the film time jumps a lot from Owen and Maddie's entire life. And, you know, after each jump, when it starts increasing the number of years they keep going, it just tugs at you more and more, because, you know, whether it's a case of Maddie disappears or Maddie goes off and does something else, she's out there living and she's out there trying to feel something. And Owen is just stuck in this mundane living and can't live his real life. And very similar to, you know, we're all going to the World's Fair, I think Shonen Brahm very much invokes probably some of her own life experiences as well too, because, you know, there's a secondary plot that the world of the Pink Opaque might actually be like the real world. This might actually be where Owen and Maddie are supposed to exist, as opposed to the world that they're actually in. And that brings some very interesting identity issues into the world for Owen, because if him and Maddie are supposed to represent these two teenagers, Isabel and Tara, in the Pink Opaque, and Owen's supposed to represent one of those, that's very different from the way that Owen's presenting in his normal life. And again, there's a lot to be said there when you look into Jane Schoenbrum's own life with that as well too. And then Owen might just be feeling that there's going to be more problems, more issues, if he was to really live his life the way that he sees himself. And then he has to go out and portray himself the way that everybody else sees him, because that at least affords him a normal life. And for him to do this, he would have anything but a normal life. It's really thought-provoking. And again, you know, I think that some people who checked out We're All Going to the World's Fair, and they're looking for more of like a streamlined experience in a horror movie that they're watching, might have watched that and just been entirely confused the entire time. I think I saw the TV Glow is far more relatable to a lot of the people that, again, are in my age range. I think a lot of folks could watch this and just lose it over how real a lot of this really seems, honestly. Because I think that kids that grew up past the 90s, you know, they are very much told that they can do what they want and they can be what they want, and that, you know, anything's an option. And while there was some of that prior to the 2000s, you know, I don't think it actually set in until the 90s were done, to be completely honest. I think that that's when kids were really understanding that you can make a life out of whatever you really want to do. Just got to put some work into it, basically. And, you know, that lasted for a while. We're in a different era as it is now. But I think a lot of the fear of I saw the TV Glow comes from realizing how much of your actual life might be in this film. It's a very deep, thought-provoking film for sure. If you get a chance to see it, go and check it out, folks. It's very much a love letter to the 90s, to the point that Owen's neighbors later on in the film, for those of y'all who were big Nickelodeon watchers back in the day, you'll get a good kick out of it for sure. As well, going deeper into the Buffy connections, there is a very, very significant Buffy connection in this movie as well too. Buffy fans will obviously pick that up when the moment comes for sure. But there's a lot to like in this. I don't think it's gonna be a straightforward movie for folks just looking for something to put on that's gonna be easy for them to digest. I think it finds itself very similar to the A24 film mid-90s, if you haven't seen that one before, which is kind of funny because this is also distributed by A24. But I think there's some similarities with the subject matter of their film mid-90s as well, too. But that being said, I think this is going to be very much for a specific crowd to go and check out. I imagine it's probably going to hit streaming here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, honestly. And when it does, definitely worth checking out, folks. Again, this is going to transport you back in time and probably punch you in the stomach to see, you know, the evolution of Owen and Maddie's life and the choices they make to work for them. So check it out when you get a chance. If you did get to see it in theaters, tell me what moment in the movie had you nostalgic the most. Was it the Tonight Tonight cover? Was it Owen's neighbors? Was it the pink opaque? I want to know in the comment section what had you super nostalgic for this. That's gonna do it for me tonight though, folks. Hit that subscribe button. I got more reviews coming through for you, including more of After Dark Horror Fest Year 3. We got In a Violent Nature coming soon for you as well too. We got A Quiet Place Day 1 coming up. So much good stuff coming for you, y'all. You are not gonna wanna miss this. But that's gonna do it for me. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared.
Boy here is a big fan of Fangoria. So if you want to check out the world's best horror magazine that's out there, get a chance to get yourself your own subscription, which I just got my first one back in 2022, and I don't regret it for a second. But if you want your own Fangoria subscription, or you like the Fangoria merchandise, then head over to the Fangoria shop and use my link if you want to save yourself some money, folks. That's an easy one to remember. Just go to shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW. Again, that's shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW, or use my specific code AXDEW at checkout. You can save 20% off your entire order, and that implies two subscription and one-time orders as well. You don't want to miss out, folks, because with the magnitude of horror movies we've had released in the last few years, and with what we have on the horizon, Fangoria is going to be your number one source for all that great, juicy, bloody information in the world of horror. So again, head to shop.fangoria.com. Hey there, folks. Thanks for tuning in to T-Watch This Scary Movie. I appreciate you checking out another review or movie news, whether we're talking movies, TV shows, books, or games, whatever. It's all scary. Remember, you can check out new episodes every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on the YouTube page video. That's youtube.com/C/Theron Reynolds Scary Movie. Again, youtube.com/C/Theron Reynolds Scary Movie. And you can check out the audio version on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Just search T Watch the Scary Movie or TWAZA. Don't forget, my name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared.